So the meditation that we retake today is the St. Ignatius call it the the call of the eternal king. Eternal king, that is Jesus, of course. And he compared with a call of a man. Imagine that, I mean, in his time, John Paul II, you are there in a huge multitude, and he fixed his eyes in you and say, you. I want you to help me. I mean, will you able to say him no? But it's the same. St. Ignatius put the example of the emperor of Spain, the king, a human king that called you to serve him and to be with him in battle and conquer the world for the group. He's talking about a Christian king for conquering the that time that there were battles with a lot of enemies of faith, and they battle physically. And the call of, come to me to serve me and conquer in this world for Jesus. And who will say no in that time to the king? I mean, and so, but the same with Jesus. I mean, he's calling us. The Christian life is being aware of a call. That call is to holiness, and we are called to be holy. That is universal call to be holy is something that it's good that we remind every day, because it's part of our Christian life. In the Catechism of the Church, quoting the Vatican II, that renewed that call to holiness, universal call to holiness of all Christians, is the numbers 213 and 214. And 15 also. Well, begins quoting a text of Romans 8, 28, 30. So we understand what is holiness and how is the plan of God is that holiness. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You can apply this. I recommend it always when you read the text of the scripture, two things. Personalize it, actualize it. Two words that are very important. If you read the scripture in that way, the scripture changes. Personalize is make it personal. It's not talking about things, it's talking about you and those he has given you. And actualize is make it real now, because the word of God is always actual, is now and here, is eternal. It's not a word of 2,000 years ago, it's a word that now is effective in those who are opening to that word and believe in that word. The reason of faith, faith is not for believing things. Faith is for letting God to work through his word in us, because if we don't believe, we continue with our wrong ideas and concepts that don't let God work in us. And it's all his action. I mean, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's a total action of God. Holiness. It's the first quote, Christian holiness, 2012 of the Catechism of the Church. And now is the universal call to holiness. All Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. All are called to holiness. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You know, it's quoting St. Peter, first letter. I know, that is Matthew 5:48. That is, be compassionate, that your Father is compassionate. You know, it's Luke 6:36, the parallel text of this. Be perfect, that your Father is perfect. In order to reach this perfection, now is Lumen Gentium, that is where the renewal of the call to holiness of especially lay people was renewed in the church. In order to reach this perfection, the faithful should use the strength dealt out to them by Christ's gift, so that doing the will of the Father in everything, they may wholeheartedly devote themselves to the glory of God and to the service of their neighbor. Thus, the holiness of the people of God will grow in fruitful abundance, as is clearly shown in the history of the church through the life of so many saints. So, and now give a clarification that is very important. The spiritual progress tends toward ever more intimate union with Christ. This union is called mystical because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, the holy mysteries, and in Him in the mystery of the Holy Trinity. God calls us all to this intimate union with Him. All is all. Even if the special graces of extraordinary signs of this mystical life are granted only to some for the sake of manifesting the gratuitous gift given to all. So, mystical doesn't mean that I have extraordinary experiences as maybe happened in some saints. No, mystical means total union with God. And to that, we, all of us, are called. In fact, it's the plan of God. It's our holiness that is the same thing as the union with Him, in the union in love with Him. And I want to read the 2:15 because it's also here. Is holiness entails some kind of denying of the ego, no, of the self. The way of perfection passes by the way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and a spiritual battle. Spiritual progress entails the ascesis and mortification that gradually lead to living in the peace and joy of the Beatitudes. He who climbs never stops going from beginning to beginning, through beginnings that have no end. He never stops desiring what he already knows. So it's a growth because it's a way of going forward and forward and forward and forward. That is even, because I think it's very important to make people understand that being human is being in a process of growth. I mean, how much more for us that we are called Christians? I mean, being human, and in the psychological level, if you are not developing your faculties and your capacities as a human, I mean, you are, this is the expression of psychologists, we are in a kind of neurotic behavior because we are called to grow. I mean, our humanity in the psychological level is called to develop. I mean, you can all these American humanist psychologists, no? The Maslow, Rogers, Carl Rogers, there are a lot. I mean, May, Eric Fromm is not German, but Horney, that was living also in the United States. I mean, all them talk about the same thing. I mean, that for a person being balanced in the psychological level has to be in a process of growth. But, so how much us that we are called in the Bible to be holy? And being holy is only letting God to be God in our hearts and in our life, the living God to become our God. That is, this is 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning was the reading of the Divine Office of the Middle Day Prayer, was this reading. It is. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, and set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the last revelation. He's talking about the Jesus manifesting to ourselves. I mean, put all your hope in the action of God in you, because God wants to reveal Himself to you. And if He is not doing that, it's because we are not letting Him to do that. Because I will manifest myself to those who are looking for doing my will. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires or your former ignorance. In all the letters is this problem of the desires before and later. The desires we have before knowing God and the desires that supposedly we have knowing God. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's the verses 13 to 16. It's a beautiful text, I mean. It's Peter, 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 13 to 16. And we go another text, so we have this very clear, that the first Christians, that was in Hebrew 12, talking about holiness. St. Paul says that strive for holiness. Without it, no one will see God. So, strive for peace with everyone, and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's Hebrews 12:14. So, I mean, to be Christian is called to be holy. It's the same thing. It's no difference. So, Hebrews 12:14. And now we go to, I want to read it because this problem of this society, that all this problem of impurity is a problem of lack of knowledge of God. Because the one who knows God is called to be holy. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sometimes the, I will make the, you know, the translations, traditore, that is an Italian expression. The translator is a traitor. Because you have always to make an interpretation according to your life, to your experiences, to your set mind, and all these things, no? Yes. And now, if you have some ideas of God or some ideas, you are going to translate according to that. And that is sad. But this is not the, for example, here, that is a new Holy Bible, New American Bible. Is not a translation of the Vulgata. The Vulgata is what the text that, for example, John Paul II used in Theology of the Body, talking about this text. But, I mean, begins with this. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, your holiness. This is the will of God, your holiness. So the will of the infinite almighty God, who sustained the whole universe in his power and in his love, in his wisdom and in his guidance, that his will is your holiness. This is the will of God. That you, and now talk about the problem of immorality. But the translation is not good because it's saying about immorality, and what he's talking is about impurity. That is very concrete kind of immorality. For men it's more sex, for women it's more affective level and attachments, I will say. This is the will of God, your holiness, that you refrain from immoralities, from impurity. Sometimes the translation is fornication. That each of you know how to keep his body in holiness and honor. Because there are other translations, I'm making the translation of the Vulgata. There are other translations. You look in your Bible, probably I say that each of you know how to acquire a wife for himself in holiness and honor. The translation of the Vulgata is that you refrain, no, that each of you know how to keep his body in holiness and honor, and has much more meaning and sense in the whole of what he's talking about. Not in lustful passion, as do the Gentiles who do not know God. I mean, what defines a Christian is knowing God. And that knowledge of God is what gives purity to the heart. The lack of knowledge of God gives impurity, as the Gentiles, that they don't know God. Not to take advantage or exploit a brother in this matter, for the Lord is an avenger of all these things, as we told you before in solemnly affirmed. For God did not call us to impurity, but to holiness. He put like the opposite of holiness is impurity. I mean, but the impurity of that this desire. Why? Because the knowledge of God gives purity to the heart. So it's connected with holiness. And I go to the last text about that. Why? Because this call of Jesus is called to be holy. The reason I insist, and it's a decision. Being holy is a decision of the heart. I fail in the way, no problem. I mean, we live from His mercy. He's going to do the things, but I want to make a resolution of holiness. I need to make a resolution. I am going to be a saint. I'm going to be a saint. I am not going to be a saint on the altar and they put me in a place there. No, I don't want to be that. But I want to be a saint. I want to achieve the fullness of my humanity. I want to achieve the union with God in love. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the goal for God. God has created you, and it's the goal for which everything that is happening in your life is happening. It's the plan of God for bringing you to the union with Him, so to your holiness. Everything that is happening in your life. But now we are, then if I have that resolution of being saint, I mean, I will fail because we are sinners, and no problem. But I am in the way. And that is an important thing, because those who are purifying their hearts and going from good to better, so in the way of holiness, those God works in them always through consolation. That, you know, the rules of discernment of the spirit of St. Ignatius. If you are not wanting to be a saint, you are not wanting the plan of God. So how God is going to work in you or in me? The first thing is wanting to be a saint. I mean, and even I fail, because we fail, as you know very well. I mean, we renew the way another day. No problem. I don't need to wait 10 minutes for renewing the way. I need to know who is God and how He is calling again me to be a saint. Because this is letting Him to be God. It's not about you and your problems and your shortcomings and your lack of power. No, it's about how I am letting God. So I have failed. I stand up. That is the Christian exercise. And I continue walking. That is called conversion. Whatever happened in my life. And that is the way of holiness. It's a way of standing up. And more times you stand up, more powerful you become for standing up and putting your trust in God and not in your misery that is there for showing you how weak and how poor you are every day. Because you put your hope not in you, but in Him. And that you can do it always because He's the good shepherd. And if I have failed, because many times what put us down and put us not wanting to continue the way is my weakness. It's my sins. That is what makes us more discouraged in a spiritual life. But that is what has to give us more courage. On the contrary. Why? Because I am learning I am learning to put my hope in Him and my trust in Him, and not in me. Because if you go high and you are not putting your trust in God because you are doing the thing right, prepare. I mean, as St. Claude of La Colombier talks in his book, in his Prayer of Confidence, I have seen the stars of heaven falling down and the columns of the universe being destroyed. I mean, nobody who is leaning on himself has any possibility of getting to any place. But the person who is becoming more aware of being a sinner is more humble, more trustful, and more open to the action of God. So in the bottom is good. No? If we know how to use it. So if we understand that this is not about me, and God is permitting my weakness, is letting my weakness to be manifest to me, so I become more humble, and I lean and rely and trust more in Him. Because holiness is a matter of humility and trust. These are the two virtues that rule the spiritual life from the beginning to the end. Humility and trust. And they are totally connected. So a person who is humble is trustful. And a person who is trustful is humble. So discourage is showing me my pride. When I discourage because I have failed. I mean, you have failed because you are weak. Well, you didn't know that before. But now you have the opportunity of learning it. No? I mean, what is the problem? If you want to learn that, what? That you are weak, that without Him, you can do nothing about holiness. And He led us to fail for that, for being humble. Because I know something about God, only one thing, very clear. He wants us, at least me, to be humble. He don't care about other things. He wants us to be humble. Because He cannot work out of humility. That is the plan of God. And whatever kind of pride or vanity or looking for my glory or whatever other things, he tried to crush them before giving great graces to a person. Why? Because, I mean, it can be worse if I get in pride when I give, receive great graces, no? I mean, so what is there? I mean, so the call of holiness is, the Bible is a call to be holy because God is holy. That is what the Bible is in the, from the beginning to the end. But I like this text of St. Paul, that how he was in Colossians. I'm not sure. Yes, it's Colossians 3:12. It's the same, it's very similar expression in Ephesians 4. The I them, that is Philippians 4:1. I then, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. So the power is in the call. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love. Striving to persevere, to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And finish with these amazing words of who is the one who is calling. One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. And in the text of some Colossians, that is God, he is the way he called. So the Colossians put on them as God chosen ones, and he's God chosen ones. So we are chosen by God, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion. So put these things as you, as God chosen ones, holy and beloved. So you have the three things. You are chosen, you are holy, and you are beloved by God. I mean, only for the call of being a Christian. But now you have to put that, on. He's talking before, the Colossians 3 is an amazing text. I mean, but it's again talking the same things that was talking in Ephesians. Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if one has grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all this put on love. That is the bond of perfection. So I insist in this meditation, it's a call to holiness. It's a call to imitate Jesus, to become as Jesus, to have the heart of Jesus. And he is the only one who can do that. This is the important thing is understanding that and making the resolutions for letting him to guide our hearts. The point of Christianity is the point that we are not opening to his action. I mean, that is the majority of people are blocking the action of God. I mean, God wants to work in us more and more. But depend on us, not depend on him. I mean, the thing is letting him to do his work in us. That is the goal of all spiritual life. Is letting God to be God where? In my heart, in the place where he wants to dwell, in the place where he wants to be Lord and God and the source of life and everything. I mean, because outside he's God. Where he's not God is inside, within us. The mystery of salvation is the mystery of letting God to be in our hearts. I mean, all the indwellings of Santa Teresa of Avila, all the interior castle is a process from the beginning because God is there for letting God to be God where? Within. In the only place that he's not God. And the reason we are not, the saints were in fire. Why? Because God is fire. The saints were in love. Why? Because God is love. The saints have a lot of wisdom. Why? Because God is wisdom. So it's letting him. So we can get something of what is the problem here that is huge. Have this clear. At least try to recognize that you are a total hindrance to the action of God. It's very important. Because if you understand that, you will let him more. But if you understand that, you will not let him. So get the image of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Saint Ignatius of Loyola is a guy who all his life, from his conversion, was letting God to be moving him. You read, for example, the rules for eating. Saint Ignatius of Loyola in the spiritual exercises. In the rules of eating, he is thinking about how God is moving me. So how God is working me for I can understand in consolation what I have to eat and what I don't have to eat. So it's a guy that does all is about the action of God in him. Because his conversion was a discernment of a spirit. So understanding that God acts in us through our behavior, through our desires and thoughts. Yeah? It's not that God acts in us. No, that my desires and thoughts can be a hindrance for the action of God, or my desires and thoughts can be a way where the Spirit can flow and work in me. That is the discernment of the Spirit. And that is what his conversion and all his life was purifying that. And he has such consolations given from God that he was permitted by the Pope to don't read the divine office. Because when he began to read the divine office, the tears were such that he was getting blind of the quantity of tears that he has when he began only to read the Psalms. We get the Psalms and we are worried. Why? Because we have no docility to the action of God. He was there. And we finish with San Francisco, and we go later to San Francisco Assisi. And this man also in Mass he has to celebrate alone, because majority of times in the Mass when he was old he get in ecstasies inside the Mass. And this man wrote to another holy man, a father of 9 or 11, that was Saint Francis of Borgia. That was one of the second most important person in the empire of Charles I of Germany and first of Spain and fifth of Germany. Well, the guy who possessed an empire that the sun cannot cover. That is the expression for describing the empire of this guy. Because have Philippines, have all South America, part of North America until Colorado probably. this the thing that they possess, Italy, Germany, and this guy, the second there, that's Francis Borgia, he also, when her wife died, he became a priest, a Jesuit, and he was the second general superior of the Jesuits. I think he was the second. And he's a mystic also. He wrote a book called Mystic, Saint Francis of Borgia. And Saint Ignatius wrote to this guy a letter, Saint Francis of Borgia, a letter saying to him, I am all impediment to the action of God at the beginning, at the middle, and at the end of my actions. So imagine what I am. It's crazy. Saint Francis of Assisi, he saw God everywhere and in every place. He has a contemplative in the rocks, in the fire, because the one who has talked about him being a rock, and he saw a candle. He was even walking with tenderness because the way, and all in him was calling to Jesus and referring to Jesus in his heart. Why? Because these guys were totally open to the action of God. And God wants to panting and that crying of creation for the manifestation of the children of God. But the children of God are those who are moved by God, are those who are guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is what God is wanting to do in us. But depend on us and depend on our choices. Have this very clear. Because I want to finish again with the how these guys, because they want God, they make decisions that are strong for killing the ego. And if we don't make that decision, as also the Catechism of the Church in 2015 was saying us, if we don't make this decision for taking away the ego is going to continue working there, destroying our relationship with God, and not also our relationship with God, because my relationship with God is how I love now myself and the others and my relationship with myself. What is the joy, what is the fullness, and what is the peace that I have in my heart? The relationship with God is not for having a relationship with God. The relationship with God is for charity. And charity is for loving God with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul, and my neighbor as myself. Because if charity is not working, my relationship with God is nothing. So, but at the same time, because our relationship with God is not external, our charity is so weak for loving others. And they are connected, the two problems. It's not one problem. And the problem of charity is the problem that charity is given by the Holy Spirit. Charity is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll say the essential gift of the Holy Spirit is love. Because it's tasting God, it's touching God. But it's given through faith and hope. Because faith and hope never disappoint, because charity has given bestowed in us through the Holy Spirit. It's Romans 5:1-5. So it's the connection between faith, hope, and the action of the Holy Spirit pouring in us the charity that is what makes us holy. Because only love makes us holy. It's clear the point. I mean, it's not, holiness is not knowledge, it's love. It's a love that is given with knowledge, of course, because knowledge brings you closer to the beloved. And love is not a feeling. Love is a personal relationship in which I give myself to other and the other give himself to other. It's an interchange. More I open to God, more he can give himself to me. And that is the process of a spiritual life. It's the process of letting God to give himself to me, because I can give to him nothing. You know, as Ignatius in the, and you know the prayer of take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my intellect, is an answer to the gift of God, because I cannot give nothing to God. And the only thing that I can do with God as an act of love for giving something to him is giving to him what he has given already to me. That is what we do in every Eucharist, is offering to him the bread that is a gift of him, and we giving it to him, he's going to transform it and make it better. But this is the whole thing that we can do in offering ourselves in a thanksgiving action to God. That is the whole thing of a spiritual life. Why? Because he's the giver, and we receive in the measure we open to the giver. And that our spiritual life is taking the obstacles, the hindrances that are inside me that are not letting God to pour his graces in me. Clear the point, it's very important, I mean, because and understanding that I am a total impediment is very good. Because I will try to be less. What? How I can know my... don't paint here. You are going to have a trouble with... I want to paint there. Silence is the word. In silence, you can know everything. Silence of two things. Mind and desires. Silence is the way of holiness, because God only talks in silence. So in the person who is listening to him. So you know the definition of the sheep of Jesus, for whom he has come to this world, for giving them life and life in abundance, John 10:10, is that they listened to my voice. That is what makes a sheep of Jesus a sheep, that listen to his voice. But, I mean, for listening, the first thing that I need for listening, I think, you know, there is a book that, why men don't know how to listen, and why women don't know how to read maps. I mean, that is the title of the book. I mean, this book that was written for the difference and complementarity in the 60s and 70s, a lot of them, one of them is that, I mean, the title. Why men don't know how to listen. Or why men don't listen. It's not how they, why women don't know how to read maps. But these are, I mean, listening, I have to make silence. In my whole being, more silence I have, more capacity of listening, because the words of God that he talks, his words are words of love. So only in the silence, and these desires is not that I have to take all my desires. No, I have to let one desire to keep my heart alive. What? The desire of letting God to guide me and to move my heart. I mean, because if that desire is not working, I mean, yesterday, no, it was, I am sure. I mean, it was a beautiful prayer in the divine office and in the, I think it's Wednesday of the first week. You have here the breviary? What a beautiful prayer, I mean. The problem as we read these things, those who are reading the breviary as me, and we pass to them like, boo. But there is no boo. Look here, how amazing prayer. So I put it in, I week first, Sunday, Monday. Let me see where it is. No, it's Monday, sorry. Monday of the first week of ordinary time. That is a prayer that is in the liturgy of the hours every first Monday. You know, our 4 weeks, the prayer, the first Monday. Father, may everything we do begin with your inspiration and continue with your saving help. Let our work always find its origin in you and through you reach completion. I mean, it's a beautiful prayer. I mean, God wants to work in us, but are we paying attention to in his inspiration to move our hearts? I mean, the goal of all spiritual life is that docility to the action of God, to be docile to the movements of the Spirit inside us. Because we have, from the moment of baptism, we are called to be holy. And we have given the instruments and the powers for being holy. And we have that in possession. We have the Holy Spirit in possession, St. Paul says. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are such that remain in heaven. Faith and hope will not remain in heaven, but the gifts of the Spirit will remain in heaven. And we have then, the problem of the gifts of the Spirit is that you cannot move then, because you don't have that capacity, are given to you for your docility to the Spirit in different areas of your life. But it's action of God. They are in divine mode. So they are movements that are coming from God. And only God can move then, because when you are moving in the gifts of the Spirit, you are moving according to God. The rule is God, the beginning is God, and the action is divine. But I mean, are we there? Or we are thinking? I mean.
You tell the story of Borgia, how about his wife?
Ah, yes. Well, Borgia was these men were, we were in Spain in the 16th century was something amazing. So many saints. I mean, why? Because there was a culture of holiness. There have been 7 centuries for being Catholic against the Muslims. So 7 centuries forming a heart, and that reason the Lutheranism don't touch Spain, because the reform was done in Spain before. So, because the church was in a need or a reform, but there were so many saints, I mean, that makes reforms in the orders. I mean, the Carmelites, but the Franciscans also, St. Peter of Alcantara, St. John of God that founded, I mean, there were a lot, and these were people of prayer. And this guy was not with her wife, but with the wife of the emperor, that according to the historians, and this woman was one of the most beautiful women that exist in that time, at least. I mean, the wife of Isabel. And he was in charge by the emperor of being the man who was in charge of the captain of the honor of the imperatrice. And he, when she died, she took her from her from the Madrid that he was in El Escorial, to take her close to Madrid to Granada, that is the pantheon of the kings of Spain, was there before. So he took, that means in that time with horses and all these things, Sundays. No? And when he was the in charge of that, and he has to give witness of that was, you know, the body that was going to be buried there was the same body. So he opened and he saw her. And he after that he said, I will never serve again a person who can die. And he after that he became a Jesuit and he's a saint, I mean, San Francis of Borgia. I mean, seeing what all beauty of this world was totally disappear and in nothing. I mean, in 2 weeks of making a way from one place to that, because he saw the hair when he was at the beginning, and he has to give witness at the end of the trip, of the travel, of the journey there. I mean, and so he was, but this, I mean, and is this, I mean, these men were in a search of God. I will say that is the word that makes the difference. I mean, and that is what makes all the things, because we know how God works. How? Jesus has come to tell us that. Jesus has come to teaching us how God works and how God doesn't work. That is the mission of Jesus. He has not come for teaching us weird things. No, only one thing. That there is a God that is almighty, that is creator, that has all power, that rules everything, that even the hairs of our head are counted, and that God is trying to work in us. And that is what Jesus came to teach us. But then we need to open to him. We need to let him to be God in the only place that is taking constantly the place of God. Because all evil, as Jesus was saying today, is coming from within. It's not outside. It's coming from within, or evil, as all good, I will say. Well, good is also outside, but I mean, the human good is coming from within. If I put God first here in my heart, and I let him to guide and rule my heart as a chosen one, as a holy one, as a beloved, because you are beloved by God. I mean, but how many times in the day do you understand that your God is loving you and thirsting for you? How many times? But it's the way the things are, that you are not there. I mean, it's your problem, of course. It's not the problem of God, because God is loving you and he's there. And he's the vine and and you are the branch. And the moment you are not understanding that you need to open to his love, you are in your ego making the things wrong in your life, because you are putting yourself first. And God is loving you, and he's not only loving you, he's wanting to give you his love. That's the whole thing of salvation. It's the action of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I mean, remain in my love. What is saying that? Why we get the Eucharist every day? You get the Eucharist only for one thing. As I live from the Father, you live from me. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will remain in me and I will remain in you. And you will be taught by God. You know, that's an expression of the Old Testament that Jesus actualized when he was talking about the Eucharist. All will be taught by God. And God is wanting to teach you and me every moment of your lives. All is a plan of him for revealing himself, as St. Peter knows that, and saying, be sober, don't get distracted in your mind. Put all your hope in the grace that is coming from the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it's a last revelation, but it's a revelation that is personal now coming to your life. In the measure you are putting all your hope in that grace of God, that is what Jesus is talking also when he's talking about the divine providence of God. Look for the kingdom of God, so the revelation of God, that is the kingdom of God, the manifestation of God in you, and the righteousness that is coming from there, the holiness that is coming from there. And it's only that, and every other thing will be given to you. But are we there? And that is what we have to, that is the ascetic dimension of a spiritual life, is taking the things that are not letting me to be there. Where? In the plan of fullness that Jesus has for me, the good shepherd, because he has come to give me life and life in abundance. And if I'm not having it, it's because something is happening there that is not right. And all this, all the ascetic dimension of a spiritual life, of mortification or denial, is for that. In the four areas we talk, I mean, have this very clear, the four areas you had to face in your life. Death. The power of facing death. The power of facing death. Satan put always in fear through the fear of death. You know, you have the quote, I mean, Hebrews 2:14. I mean, you can believe in the gospel or not believe in it, but try to believe because God is talking. God is talking about something that is happening. That is happening. These are not ideas. That is what is happening. That through the fear of death, we are slaves of Satan all along our lives. How do you face death in your life? Because now you have a little pain here. Do you face this? You are in the disposition of dying in this moment for God? Or you get in fear? Because, I mean, if you get in fear, that is what Satan is pretending. If you open to God, you know what is the most powerful thing in your life? The moment of your death. Because the moment that you are going to have the encounter with God. And we were redeemed by the death of Jesus. Because he offered himself for dying for you. I mean, you can offer your life. I mean, maybe you are not a saint, but if you are able to do that action of offering yourself to God in this moment, my God, get me. I am a sinner. But now I am going to redeem all my sins, one thing with all my being and all my heart. You will. Now, Satan is blocked. He has no power. And he's afraid that you do that. That is one of the biggest fears we have. This society is all about healthy bodies. I mean, so I don't say that we don't have to try to be healthy. I mean, tomorrow I'm going to the dentist after 10 years. And I'm going because my superior is pushing me, because if not, I will not go. I told him the other day, I was there, I said, I mean, you know, thinking in the dentist is thinking in suffering. I don't want to suffer. I told him that. He said, yes. He was looking at me. But it's true, I mean, because it's so sensible, the mouth, that when you're there putting things there inside, irons and other things, it's not something that nobody can like. I mean, what is there? 10 years. So, but I mean, I don't say that you don't have to take care of your health, but not being worried. I mean, I'm fearful of what is going to happen. It's a power, I mean. The cross, also the sufferings. Those who are in the disposition of suffer have broken with sin. St. Peter 1, Peter 4, 1, 2. And they are now doing the will of God. Those who are in the disposition of suffering. It's not that I am going to suffer or not. It's that suffering is going to be part of your life you want or you don't want all along your life. The thing is not if suffering is going to be in my life. Nobody can escape from suffering. And when you try to escape from sufferings, I have an expression that is how much we suffer because we don't want to suffer. Because the greatest suffering is the lack of meaning, is the interior suffering that people have and suicide and make suicide. And people take drugs and people try to escape because the suffering they have inside. The anguish, the anxiety, the stress, the meaningless, the hopeless, all these things are real deep sufferings. Why? Because they don't want to suffer in the physical level. Because when you are embracing suffering, you are embracing love. Because love is an act of dying. It's dying to yourself. For one of the Benedict XVI, in all majority of his book, he repeats this idea. Love is a fact of dying. But we don't love because we don't want to die. And now we are fearful to death. Why? Because we are not wanting to die. The person who is dying every day to himself, why is going to be fearful to dying and having the total encounter with the one who is love? The one who is not dying, of course, is in fear. But I insist, the three things, humility, so our poverty, our nothingness, our weakness, our knowing ourselves. It's one of the most painful things and more harmful thing if you are not in the disposition of knowing yourself and wanting to know yourself. That is humility. But if you are not in that disposition, knowing your poverty that surpasses your thinking, because I mean the saints have those dark nights that in the bottom, dark nights are one thing, self-knowledge. And it's painful. And everything a person I know that is growing in spiritual life is because he's knowing how bad he is or she is. This is the only way I know that the person is going deeper in the knowledge of God. Why? Because it's coming to light and now it's not covering up and is taking away the mechanism of defense, the mechanism of justification, the mechanism of rationalization, and it's coming to the love of God, knowing that he loves me as I am, not as I think that I am. And the only way I can get there is in the truth of myself. Where? In my weakness. Because it's huge. But these four things are very important for following Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took the way of poverty, took the way of the cross, of suffering, took the way of dying to himself, and he took these things for conquering all evil in us. But if we don't face these things, I mean, our fear continues working there. And our fears are showing always our desires. And the greatest of all is my desire of honor and glory, of being recognized and valued and loved. And that is very powerful, as you know. And the only way of stopping, because all the problems we have inside, what is? You sum up all your problems, and there is one. I don't have love. Or I haven't had love. Or I think that I am not going to have love. I mean, that is the whole thing. A person who is in love, so who is in God, what is the fear? That love that is healing. Because what God is wanting is to, through his love, to heal our hearts. From what? From the wounds that are lack of love that we have. But we need to open them to him. Because if not, it's impossible that he can heal them. I mean, what a powerful text. So it's Monday, week first. There. So the thing here is understanding who is calling us. I mean, we are called to be holy. That is the first thing. And being holy means following Jesus. Only that. Being a disciple of Jesus. Only that. An intentional disciple. This book that I don't like much, but I mean, the title is good. Being an intentional disciple. It has good ideas. I'm not saying that the book is bad, but I mean, it's not one of my favorites. But it's there. I mean, being aware what is my life. My life is, where do you live? And that is the first thing always. Master, where do you live? Come and see. So it's a lesson that is teach in your own life. It's the way Jesus is going to teach you in your own life. Why? Where he lives and where Jesus lives. Jesus lives in the heart of the Father. That's where Jesus lives. That's what impressed the disciples. His relationship with the Father. A relationship that you are called to have. Because you are called to live as a child of God. Your deepest identity is being a child of God. Of all the identities you have, of your person, is being a beloved child of God. That is your deepest identity. You are not living that. You have a problem as a human. Because you are called to live from that love that is the love of the Creator. It's not another love like other loves, no. It's the one who has given you family, friends, and all the crosses that are in your life and in the plan of your Father for making you holy. Whatever has happened, but you need to become a child, because if you don't become a child, your ego is taken always away from the love of your Father. I mean, and that is the human biggest problem, that we are not letting him to be Father. And his fatherhood is infinite tenderness. God is tenderness, is kindness, is what you don't know, but you need. Because you are looking for that, always. But the only one who can give you and experience that tenderness and that kindness and that goodness is your Father. And Jesus, what he came is to teach us to be children of God. And that is holiness. Holiness is in the bottom, becoming a child of God. The whole creation is awaiting in expectation the manifestation of the children of God. It's surrendered to frustration. There was a reading today also of the divine office, the second reading. is surrender to frustration, but awaiting something, awaiting the manifestation of the children of God. Why? Because being a child of God is living from God. It's being born from God. It's not an idea. It's not a thinking. It's a way of living from another. That is the same thing that the question of silence. They are not different things. I mean, it's because our whole being is coming from another. I mean, we were reading that amazing text of Ephesians 4:6, the Father of all, who is through all, who is above all, who transcends all. I mean, it's God. It depends on lack of faith, as you know. I insist in that point. Why? Because, I mean, we are not letting God to work in us. God works through faith. But he needs that faith of me that I understand that he has the Father, the Almighty, the one who is the origin in the Trinity, and Jesus, in the same way that in the Trinity he is, you know the expression of St. John, is prostheon, means, it's a Greek expression that means looking to the Father, face to face to the Father. That is the meaning of the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. I mean, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was prostheon, so was in front of God, looking to the Father. I mean, and he is God, and all things have been created for him, and he, the Son, lives eternally from the Father, and his being is being receiving his existence from the Father. That is the being of Jesus eternally. The deepest thing in Jesus, the most holy thing in Jesus, is that everything is coming from the Father. Because he's the child of God. He's the Son of God. But what means to be Christian? It's become a child of God. It's to become a son of God. So living as Jesus. You know, we were reading the text of the Romans 8:28. He created us in the image of his Son for becoming as Jesus. So for becoming son of God. Out of there is nothing. All the other things are coming from there. This is the biggest human problem. The lack of a relationship of my desire of being loved with my Father. Because from the fatherhood of God is coming all fatherhood and all motherhood. Is coming all communion of love from the Father. But even in the Holy Trinity, the mystery of the Son is founded in the origin. You know, the expression is technical expression. But it's clarifying something. Archos and archos. Which means origin without origin. Is the only the Father. The Son is origin, but with origin, because he proceeds from the Father. And Jesus has come to bring us to that mystery of the Holy Trinity for becoming real children of God. But this is not an idea. This is the one who has sustaining in his infinite power this whole thing. I mean, all the thing is in his infinite power. And we are. But that is the core of holiness is that, within being holy, doing things. No, the core of holiness is being a child of God. Because in Jesus, the deepest thing, the only thing that is eternal, is being a child. It's being a son. It's coming from another. It's receiving everything from another. And you read St. John, you will see how all the expressions of Jesus are amazing. I don't do nothing without the Father. I don't say nothing without the Father. Jesus is constantly living from the Father. As he's living eternally in the mystery of the Trinity, he came to teach us what is the meaning of our humanity. The meaning of our humanity is being children of God. And out of there is no humanity. Why? We can go to the problem of desires, because the desire of being loved, if it is not in your Father, if it is not in God, and that is the mystery of education of children, that is the mystery of marriage, and all the problems are here, because we don't have a Father, we are not spouses. Because for being an spouse, you first need to be a child. It's a process that we have to learn. The reason marriages are so difficult, and in all cultures, marriages are a failure. Why? Because they don't have God. I have been there. I mean, and you go there. Why? Because even if the natural plan of God, the natural plan of God, the creation, is not made without God. The creation is something that depends on God. And for being a husband, you need to be a son first. Because if not, you are not going to be a father for your children. Because the way of being a father for your children is teaching them the fatherhood of God. But if you are not living from the fatherhood of God, what is your fatherhood? What is your motherhood? Creating attachment to your children, trying to manipulate them according to your affective emotional level. I mean, that, I don't think that is the plan of God. I mean, the plan of God is that you bring your children to Him. But if I don't have a clear knowledge of my Father in my heart, how am I going to bring my children to God? I am not going to do that. Why? Because your mission as a father and a mother is bringing your children to a greater love. That you cannot bring them to, you cannot give them that love. You cannot fulfill their hearts. You cannot give them wisdom. You cannot then give them joy and peace and patience and strength and all the things that God wants to give us. But God can do one, not only want, He can do, and He has all His desire in your children becoming His children. I mean, but that depends on us. I mean, and I insist because we think in holiness like something I have to do. Holiness is letting God to be my Father, as Jesus. And from there becoming an spouse. Because if I'm not living from the love of God, loving my husband or my wife is the toughest thing that exists. Why? Because it's difficult. Because it's now about me doing things and not getting the goal at the same time. I'm seeing the point because that is sometimes we think in holiness like a weird thing. And holiness is living from Him. I mean, and letting Him to be God. And these are the two words that are key for this. That I insist are very simple. Why? Because in Mary we see everything, and in Mary we understand everything. They are humility, that is recognizing that I depend on others, that is humility, recognizing that God is God. Humility is only that. It's knowing who is God and who is not God. I am not God, He is God. He is the creator, I am a creature. Because it's the first statement of saying that God is God. I mean, if I understand myself as a creature, I mean, there is no humility. Why? Because humility is the truth that I depend on other. For putting it more clear, I depend on the love of other. For being myself, for existing, how much? For that is humility. Humility is recognizing that only God is God. And the reason all the sins are pride, because all the sins are pretending to be something without God. All the sins. And all our sins are coming from the same root. Why? And I try to bring it clear also here, because, and the other is trust. In humility, I understand who I am before God. In trust, I understand who is He and what is the love He has for me and what is the power He has for changing everything if I put all my hope in Him. As St. Peter was saying, and also in the definition of hope in the Catechism of the Church, is expecting everything from God. I mean, but how these two things are working in our hearts, because it's the only thing that He's asking us, is the truth. One is of myself, that truth can be only, and both are before the mercy of God. I mean, this is not, I accept myself in my total weakness. Why? Because I know His love for me in my total weakness. And without Him, I can do nothing. I mean, the expression of Santa Teresa of Avila, I know these things are tough. I have talked about to you about that in the book 5 of the Interior Castle. I mean, he was there thinking about why God loves so much humility and came to her. So came from God. Because I am the truth. And humility is walking in the truth. That is humility, walking in the truth. It's when the truth passes from here to here. That is the longest distance that exists in the universe. Passing the things from here to the heart. And making them life. Making them part of my life. That is the greatest distance. But only you can go that percourse, that gap that is there. And that is humility, bringing them here. Why? Because Jesus put it very clear to her. Because I am the one who is. You know, it's the expression of Exodus 3:15. And you are not a misery. And when you are not in this truth, you are living in a lie. And more you are in this truth, more you please me. And saying these things, the people can get horrified. But it's the same thing that Jesus talked to St. Catherine of Siena. Exactly the same, two daughters of the church. And all Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, the other doctors of the church, it's all about this. Humility and trust. The humility of a child that knows, that depends totally on his dad, that is the path of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, is the path, the path of the how do you say in English, the little path, or the is knowing that I am a child, that I am loved in the mercy of God, that my Father is infinite mercy. Infinite mercy means infinite tenderness, infinite kindness with the poor, with the little, with the weak, and all manifestation of Jesus, all manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and all manifestation of any saint is a spark of the tenderness, of the kindness, and the goodness, and the love of the Father. But we continue having these horrible ideas of our God, and we are afraid of Him, of what He's going to happen. I mean, this is all the power of Satan in our hearts. Eh? And that is that our lack of faith in Jesus Christ. Because the Father, for teaching me and you how much He loves you, He has given His Son to die on a cross. And every day He's doing the same in the Eucharist. Again, giving His Son. And we continue doubting of His love, we continue having fears, and we continue not trusting in Him and what He's going to do. I mean, this is something that is not fear, that is not fair. I mean, why? Because He cannot do anything more. He has given His Son to die on a cross. He cannot do more. I mean, it's impossible that he does more, because His Son is His very being. He's the one who makes Him a Father. And He has given it for you. For what? For giving you everything with Him. As St. Paul says in Romans 8:32. I mean, and we continue doubting in Him. And we continue not believing in Him. And we continue not opening to His love and not trusting in Him. I mean, something is here weird. What? Our lack of faith, of course. Of course, that. And now He's blocked to work in us. Why? Because God cannot work out of there, out of the truth. What? The truth of myself? That is, I accept it because I have no problem. I know that He loves me. I know that I am nothing. I'm not nothing. That when I am separating my desires from Him, I am misery. Because my desires, when they are not in God, my desire of being loved, for being more clear and more concrete, my desire of being honored and recognized and appreciated and wanted, that desire, when it is not in God, is putting me in the center of everything, because it is selfishness itself, the desire of being loved. And now God is blocked. Why? Because I am putting my ego in the center of everything. Where? Through the desire of being loved. And you are there, as I am there, and I know it. Now pride is there, and vanity is there, and anger is there, and jealousy is there, and all the seven capital sins that are the reactions of the ego before the different realities that are around you. But, I mean, in the moment that humility is understanding, I depend on the love of other. And this other is not one, it's God, the Father. That is the whom I depend. I depend first as a creature, but I depend also in the spiritual level, because living without God, the life of the soul is God, is His love, is His light, is His wisdom. So when I am not opening my desire, that I insist, of being loved, that desire is putting me in the center of everything. And now, is lack of fear, lack of humility, and the contrary of trust, that is fear. And I'm afraid what is going to happen, and fear is ruling our hearts. Why? And God is blocked. That is the hindrance of the action of God. I'm not talking about thinking, I'm talking about the hindrance, real hindrance that we have to the action of God. Why? Because your Father loves you until giving His Son. How He's not going to give you everything? Being a sinner, He gave His Son for me. It's not because I am good. No, it's not because I'm doing the things right. No, He doesn't love you because you are good. No, you are not good. That is the truth. You are weak. And He wants to love you and in His love make you holy. But I mean, the moment you are not living from His love, or I am not living from His love, because this desire, I insist, this desire of being loved is ruling your life from childhood, as mine, as every human being. This desire is the strongest desire, deepest desire you have. Why? Because it's the connection with the Creator. It's God creating a spiritual being, has put in the spiritual being a need of love. Because a spiritual being is a being who is aware of the origin. And the origin is love. And God has created the whole thing of the universe through love and wisdom. So in the moment you are this desire that your parents, and they, maybe that is the problem sometimes, eh, were there for opening that desire of being loved to God, that is the reason the child, God is giving the parents the time of education for opening the heart of the child to the love of God. Why? Because they cannot fulfill this desire. Because they can't in any way. And the child is going to be aware because growing is being aware that my parents cannot fulfill my desire of being loved. That they have no power. And even that they have some problems for loving. And they, sometimes they are even whatever. And it's there. But that desire, in the moment is not open to the love of God, what is happening? That I am putting it where? In the world. Necessarily, because that desire that you don't control. Not a desire that you can control. The only thing that you can do with this desire is putting it in the correct place. When you were a little child, was in your parents' correct place. Why? Because your parents were there for teaching you the love of God. They didn't do that. Okay, no problem. That was in the plan of God also. For now, you open your heart to His love and heal the wounds that you have inside you that are not letting you to be free from the past. I mean, why? Because God was there for giving them the understanding that they cannot fulfill the heart of a child, because nobody can do that. Ah, it's true that it's very satisfying to feel that somebody depends totally on me and needs my love. And not using that for opening to a greater love. That is what majority of parents do. So it's a huge problem, and you know the majority of human problems are connected with this relationship between parents and children. How they are manipulating the children, forgetting their affection, forgetting them depending on Him. Instead of helping them to grow and mature and to come to fullness, they use this desire that the children have because they have it and they cannot control it because it's something that belongs and belonging to the spiritual level, belongs to the psychological level, and belongs to our whole being. Because the spiritual level is not a kind of thing that is in heaven, no. The spiritual level is what gives this body being a human body. So all the levels of the person are connected with this desire. And that's the reason people have such problems with this desire. Bulimia, anorexia, all these problems are coming from this desire. I mean, the anger of people with is all coming from this. Why? Because this desire need to be satisfied. And that means to be a child of God. What? Understanding that I depend on God ontologically and in this every level, but in the level of love especially. And that is salvation. It's only that. It's only that. What? That your God is love. That is salvation. And He wants to pour that love free because it's grace. There is no reason. The weaker you are, the poorer you are, the greater sinner you are, the more you have power before you, God, for getting His love. Why? Because nobody can boast in anything in this world. All is a gift. And nobody can boast before God. And that is the thing of salvation. That is the thing of holiness. The thing of holiness is learning to open these desires so I understand that I depend, because I insist, humility is only one thing. I depend on other. I depend on the Creator. You know, original sin, what is? There are two levels. One level, general level, is don't eat, don't pretend to be God. In the moment you eat from it, you die. You die, why? Because you break your relationship with this fountain of love and the fountain of life. You break the relationship. Why? Because the tree is teaching us one thing. Don't try to be God. You are not the source. You are not the fountain. You are not the giver. You can't. So try to understand that. Don't try to pretend to be God, because you will die in the moment you do that. I mean, and that is the meaning of the tree, is I am God. It cannot be another way. I cannot make you creator because I cannot make you God. But I want to make you God sharing my divinity. And that is what the original plan of God. But what happened there? I mean, that one person pretended to occupy the place of God in the heart of other person. That was original sin. And it's the root of all human problems. When parents pretend to occupy in the heart of their children the place of God. When a husband or a wife pretend to occupy in the heart of the other the place of God. And this doesn't work. Why? Because they can't work. Because I'm not the source of love. I'm not the fountain of love. I am a weak, poor person with a lot of miseries. That how I am going now to fulfill the heart of other person? How? I mean, in my thoughts and in my thinking. And watching movies and thinking that the movies are going to be real someday. I mean, maybe that is what is very typical in this society, no? Hearing music and watching movies, thinking that they are going, ah, that is what the, you know. The other day, Father Luis showed us a movie. No, it's not a movie. It's a video or DVD. Good. I will bring the next day so you can see the title. It's about all the whole problem of the pill. I don't know the name. It's Christopher West and Everett and Cristalina. They are there in the video. It's a good video. Well done. And all the thing of perverting women through the Cosmopolitan is a book that is all about affairs of women having sex and being happy with sex and making them dream in something that has destroyed totally the capacity of the women of being happy. Because, I mean, I think that they cannot be more unhappy than they are in this society. I mean, more bitterness, more anger, more frustration, and more disappointment. Even now they have everything that they want. I mean, it's the truth. Where is joy? Where is the beauty of a woman that brings a man greater life? Where is that? Being that the mission of the woman. Because the mission of the woman is the interior life. That is the only difference between a man and a woman. That she has more capacity of opening to the love of God and more capacity because she's more created and she's more aware from childhood that she's created for love and for a union of love that surpasses all knowledge. But in the moment she pretend to do that with a man or to do that, you know, it's the text of Edith Stein, I mean, that I have given you and you have it and you can read it when you want. I mean, it's clear, the point. Why? Because this desire is so strong that it's a need of the human heart. You need love. But when you go to prayer, you go to receive love. I mean, read the psalm. When you're reading the psalm, if you read the psalms, don't go quickly. It's better to read one psalm slowly and living it and personalizing it and making it actual than reading the whole thing and losing your time and wasting your time. I mean, try to make the things intense because intensity is what defines spiritual life. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of intensity. I mean, we can do 1,000 things and doing nothing. We can do one thing and do a lot in intensity. I mean, because the first commandment is intense in the most intensity that you can think. With all your heart, with all your strength, with all your being, and with all your soul. So don't leave nothing back. So try to do the things, when you do the things in a spiritual life, in such a dimension. How? With all your heart, with all your strength, all your being, and all your soul. Because you are before God. You are not before a guy who is now going to know. You are before God. In the moment you move with intensity in your heart, you are giving God the opportunity of working in you. But you have to move it because if God is commanding me that, it's because it's part of my will doing that. If not, he will not command me that. If it not depend on me loving him with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul, I mean, he will not command that to us. Why? Because it's part of my own will. How the intensity that I put in things and how I can renew the intensity. Because here, I mean, you are before the one who is infinite tenderness and love, who is infinite beauty and with his infinite love and infinite good. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, and they are wanting to give themselves to you. So you don't have intensity there, okay. Maybe you are not aware of before who you are. And so this is not working. Because when faith works, hope works. And hope is a desire. But it's a kind concrete of desire. It's a desire about happiness. That is the result that is ruling your life. So, when faith is not working, hope is not working. Because hope is the desire of happiness, where it is. So, you are not praying. Some question about this? Why? Because faith is for hope. I mean, we can reread the text. The Church is mother and teach us very well the things, especially through this catechism. That's really good. You know, 1818, never forget the number, 1818, the majority of age, 1818. Hope is the theological virtue, so put me open to God, that means theological, that is about God, it's not about me, by which we desire, that is hope. So faith is knowledge, essentially, it's not only knowledge, but it's knowledge of a personal relationship. That is faith. But I mean, these virtues are the virtues that bring me to holiness, because within in holiness and within as a weird thing, is putting them in practice, in action. It's only that. Because it's opening to God. Faith open my knowledge to understanding who is God, what is his fatherhood, what is his mercy, what is the love he has for me, what is the power he has. I mean, in this moment, and that is what faith is making me in this moment doing. Hope, what does is opening my affective, emotional level and my desires toward God. Because it's the virtue, so it's an action of the free will. It's a virtue, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It's the way I open with my whole person to the mystery of God through my understanding and my will, that is a virtue. By which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as my happiness. Personalize and actualize, always, when you read things of the church. Because they are talking about God. Personalize is make you personal. Because he's saying our happiness. I don't desire our happiness, I desire happiness. Because you have a desire of happiness that is your very will. And everything that you are doing in this life is for being happy. So, but when I go to prayer, I move my desire toward God of happiness. Because you desire happiness with all your heart, all your strength, all your being, and all your soul. It's what you desire more. If my hope is not bringing me to that desire, I mean, I don't have hope. And not only that, because the thing don't finish here. It's amazing, the virtue, of course, as all the virtues, I mean, that God has given us for opening to his mystery of love. Hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust, so our hope, our confidence, the same word, in Christ's promises and relying not on my own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are we practicing that? Because I insist, I gave you the paper for the prayer. The paper of the prayer is three things: faith, hope, charity, that is purifying intention for putting God first and not my feelings first, and humility. If you work this, you are changing necessarily. But we cannot presuppose things when we go to prayer. I mean, it's not good to presuppose anything. Why? Because the basics are always the basics. And the things that are always with us, I mean, you cannot do something without understanding and will. You cannot do something with God without faith, hope, and charity. And the reason of actualizing and personalizing then, I mean, God is my Father. You go to prayer and you go deeper in that mystery of the love of God for you as a Father. And you get there and stay there for a while. Understanding what is the love he has for you. And if you have some doubt, look to the cross. Because it's the way he wants to express you how much he loves you. I mean, in the death of his son. That is the manifestation of the love of the Father. And that is the way your Father is loving you. And you get and personalize that he is almighty. So that everything in your being is in his total power. That he can do what he wants. I mean, that is recognizing that he's almighty. But if I don't believe that he's almighty, I don't believe in God. So the things that are part of faith are not ideas, are who is God. So I don't keep my idols, my false ideas of God in my head. Why? Because God cannot work through false ideas of him. If I don't believe that this moment is in his divine providence, if I don't believe that he wants to pour his graces in me because he loves me, I don't believe. So how is going to be my prayer? Trying to find an idea of God? If I don't get aware that I'm a creature of God, I am not before God. Why? Because you are a creature of God, which means that you depend totally, absolutely, and permanently. And because He is loving you and thinking in you, you exist. And He stopped doing that, you will not exist. That means that you are a creature of God. But are you aware when you are praying of this? Because, I mean, if you are not aware of that, why are you? You are trying to find a feeling. God is not a feeling, my friends. A feeling that I have, or an emotion that I have. I mean, God surpasses infinitely our feelings and emotions. His power, His love, and He's acting in those who believe in Him. Now we need. That is the reason the saints, for getting there, I gave you this the other day, because the next day we are not going to continue with this. Make their own decisions. You know this, no? You have it already. I mean, make your own decisions. Why? Because Jesus took the way of poverty and the way of humiliation. And He took them, being the Son of God, for teaching us how to keep with God always. Because the only reason Jesus did everything is for only one reason. For teaching us how to remain in the love of God always. Because my ego don't want to be poor. And my ego don't want humiliations. And so I am in fear of these things. If I don't face them, I don't know what is going to happen. I insist in this because the enemy is very cunning. And I don't know what is going to happen. And I don't care about what is going to happen. Because the things are in the power of my Father. So, but I care how, when the things happen, I don't go away from Him. And this is all the reason these guys do these things. Why? Because they don't want to be separated from God. And they know their ego. They know how easy I get in pride, how I get in anger, how I, because I am looking for richness and possessions and more. And they know that because their hearts, I mean, he wrote that so clear that acting against my own, and this you can, St. Ignatius was here, acting against my own sensuality and against my carnal and worldly love. And you have this sensuality and you have this carnal and worldly love, as St. Ignatius has it, and he knows it very well. And he knows that this was separating him from God. So he made the decision for cutting it off because I want to live in the fullness of my humanity. And he truly lived in the fullness of his humanity. Why? Because he makes decisions for putting God first. And that is how finished the meditation of Eternal King, the call of Jesus. To follow Him in what? In the way Jesus chose. He's the only one who has chosen His life. Where He was born, where He was going to die, how He was going to die. Everything was chosen by Him, the one who passed that. For me and for you, it's a plan of our Father. In Jesus, it's a plan of the Father and the Son. It's the Holy Trinity who decide the mystery of salvation. In the mystery of the love of God. Amen? And He chose that way. For what? For us men and for our salvation, as everything that Jesus did. We ask Mary to help us. I mean, I insist this point. I mean, you look, Mary, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Here is humility. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, the lowliness of your servant. And here is trust. Be done in me according to thy will. And that is all the power of Mary. It's her humility and her trust in God. Because she knows who is her. That she is nothing without God, and she never forget that. That is the difference. That is Immaculate Conception. We celebrate the Our Lady of Lourdes the other day. I am the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception means one thing, that she has no original sin. What means that? That she never get from her heart, that she depends totally, absolutely, permanently on God. That is Immaculate Conception. And from there, all the gifts are coming to her. Why? Because she never denied being a creature of God. But you and me, we are constantly denying that, thinking that we have something by ourselves. And we pride, and we get boasting, and we pretend that we are, we have, and we know. I mean, even when I am talking sometimes, I am thinking, how stupid you are, Armando. I mean, because it's the truth. I mean, it's crazy, but we are so silly. I mean, thinking that we have something that we have not received. And whatever we have, and but that reason of being thankful, because everything is a gift. So she is the perfection of that humility and the perfection of that trust until the mystery of the cross. We ask her to help us, to be there with her. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Acknowledge that we are temples of God and we are called to be holy because the temple of God is holy and that is our body. We give glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.